The first that stood up was the soft and amorous Louisa. He led her to the couch, on which he gave her the fall and extended her at her length with an air of roughness and vigour. The girl, spreading herself to the best advantage, with her head upon the pillow, was so consented in what she was about that our presence seemed the least of her care and concern. Her petticoats, thrown up with her shift, discovered to the company the finest turned legs and thighs that could be imagined, that gave us a full view of that delicious cleft of flesh into which the pleasing hair-grown mount over it parted and presented a most inviting entrance between two close hedges, delicately soft and pouting. Her gallant, having disencumbered himself from his clothes, showed us his forces in high plight, banded and ready for action. But giving us no time to consider the dimensions, he threw himself instantly over his charming antagonist, who received him without flinching. We could observe pleasure lighten in her eyes as he introduced his plenipotentiary instrument into her. Till at length, having indulged her to its utmost reach, its irritations gave her the spur so furiously that, collected within herself and lost to everything but the enjoyment of her favourite feelings, she retorted his thrusts with a just concert of springy heaves, keeping time so exactly with the most pathetic sighs that one might have numbered the strokes in agitation by their distinct murmurs. It soon came on when Louisa, in the ravings of her pleasure frenzy, impotent of all restraint, cried out, "Oh, sir, good sir, pray do not spare me. Ah, ah!" All her accents now faltering into heart-fetched sighs, she closed her eyes in the sweet death, in the instant of which she was embalmed by an injection of which we could easily see the signs in the quiet, dying, languid posture of her late so furious driver, who was stopped of a sudden, breathing short, panting, and for the time giving up the spirit of pleasure. By this time, the second couple was ready to enter the lists, which were a young baronet and that delicatest of charmers, the winning, tender Harriet. She was led forward by her gallant, who sat her down at the foot of the couch and, passing his arm round her neck, preluded with a kiss fervently applied to her lips that visibly gave her life and spirit to go through with the scene. There, as if he had guessed our wishes, he discovered her breasts to his own touch and our common view. But, oh, what delicious manuals of love devotion! How inimitable, fine moulded, small, round, firm, and excellently white! The grain of their skin so soothing, so flattering to the touch, and their nipples that crowned them the sweetest buds of beauty. When he had feasted his eyes with a touch and perusal, feasted his lips with kisses of the highest relish imprinted on those all-delicious twin orbs, he proceeded downwards. Her legs still kept the ground, and now, with the tenderest attention not to alarm her too suddenly, he, by degrees, rather stole than rolled up her petticoats. At which, as if a signal had been given, Louisa and Emily took hold of her legs and kept them stretched wide abroad. Then lay exposed, or, to speak more properly, displayed, the greatest parade in nature of female charms. The whole company, who, except myself, had often seen them, seemed as much dazzled, surprised, and delighted as anyone could be who had now beheld them for the first time. But what infinitely enriched and adorned them was the sweet intersection formed where they met at the bottom of the smoothest, roundest, whitest belly by that central furrow which nature had sunk there between the soft relief of two pouting ridges, and which in this was in perfect symmetry of delicacy and miniature with the rest of her frame. No, nothing in nature could be of a beautifuler cut. Then the dark umbrage of the downy spring moss that overarched it bestowed on the luxury of the landscape a touching warmth, a tender finishing, beyond the expression of words or even the paint of thought. her truly enamoured gallant, standing then between Harriet's legs, which were supported by her two companions at their widest extension, with one hand gently disclosed the lips of that luscious mouth of nature, whilst with the other he stooped his mighty machine to its lure, and passed up his instrument so slow that we lost sight of it inch by inch, till at length the mossy mounts of each fairly met together. In the meantime, we could plainly mark the prodigious effect the progressions of this delightful energy wrought in this delicious girl. Her countenance and whole frame grew more animated. The faint blush of her cheeks, gaining ground on the white, deepened into a florid, vivid vermilion glow. Her naturally brilliant eyes now sparkled with tenfold lustre. Her languor was vanished, and she appeared quick-spirited and alive all over. He now fixed this tender creature with his home-driven wedge, so that she lay passive by force, and unable to stir, till beginning to play a strain of arms against this vein of delicacy, as he urged the to-and-fro confriction, he touched her so to the heart, that unable to contain herself, she could not but reply to his motions as briskly as her nicety of frame would admit of, till the raging stings of the pleasure rising towards the point made her wild with the intolerable sensations of it, and she now threw her legs and arms about at random, while he declared himself by quicker, eager thrusts, convulsive gasps, burning sighs, swift, laborious breathings, eyes darting, humid fires, all faithful tokens of the imminent approaches of the last gasp of joy. It came on at length. The baronet led the ecstasy as she felt the melting symptoms from him, in the nick of which, gluing more ardently than ever his lips to hers, he showed all the signs of that agony of bliss being strong upon him, in which he gave her the finishing titillation. But her lover still kept on her, with an abiding delectation, till compressed, squeezed, and distilled to the last drop. He took leave with one fervent kiss, expressing satisfied desires, but unextinguished love. Emily's partner had already taken her out for her share in the dance, when this transcendently fair creature readily stood up. Her gallant began first to disengage her breasts and restore them to the liberty of nature, and on their coming out to view, we thought a new light was added to the room, so shining was their whiteness. He touched her breasts and trussed up her petticoat and shift in a wisp to her waist, where, being tucked in, she stood fairly naked on every side. Then gently removing her hand, which in the first emotion of natural modesty she had carried thither, he gave us rather a glimpse than a view of that soft, narrow chink running its little length downwards and hiding the remains of it between her thighs. But plain was to be seen the fringe of light brown curls in beauteous growth over it, that with their silky gloss created a pleasing variety from the surrounding white. Her gallant, after settling her well in this posture, drew out his affair, ready erected, and drove it up to the guard, whilst the round bulge of those Turkish beauties of hers, tallying with the hollow made with the bent of his belly and thighs. As soon, too, as she felt him at home as he could reach, she lifted her head a little from the pillow, and turning her neck without much straining, but her cheeks glowing with the deepest scarlet, and a smile of the tenderest satisfaction, met the kiss he pressed forward to give her, as they were thus close joined together. When leaving him to pursue his delights, she hid again her face and blushes with her hands and pillow, and thus stood passively, and as favourably too as she could, whilst he kept laying at her with repeated thrusts, and making the meeting flesh on both sides resound again with the violence of them. Then, ever as he backened from her, we could see between them part of his long white star foamingly in motion, till at length a pursuit of driving, so hotly urged, brought on the height of the fit with such overpowering pleasure, that his fair partner became now necessary to support him, panting, fainting and dying as he discharged. She reeled, and falling forward on the couch made it a necessity for him, if he would preserve the warm pleasure-hold, to fall upon her, where they perfected, in a continued conjunction of body and ecstatic flow, their scheme of joys for that time. As soon as he had disengaged, the charming Emily got up, and we crowded round her with congratulations and other officious little services. For it is to be noted that though all modesty and reserve were banished from the transaction of these pleasures, good manners and politeness were inviolably observed.